Proverbs 3, verses 21 and 22 says, "My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life to you, an ornament to grace your neck." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, discernment is life. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning, Lord. I pray that you would help us to understand this passage, this instruction from your word, and apply it to our lives in a way that benefits us, Lord. Your word tells here that being able to discern, to judge, Lord, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is not, Lord, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, it gives us life, Lord. So discernment is so important. Help us to become more discerning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've taught in the past, I did a number of sermons on the topic of is good always God? Just something because something is good doesn't always mean it's God. There's a lot of things, you know, that we can do that might be good, but you can miss doing what God wants you to do because you're busy doing something that's good. Does that make sense? Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with what you're doing. It's a properly, you know, good thing, but is that what God wanted you specifically to be doing? The only way that you can know the difference is discernment. I can discern because, you know, and this has always been the case. I get mail and phone calls and emails that come across my desk and into my computer and stuff every day of asking us to be involved in some good ministry effort. All perfectly good, but there's no way you can possibly do all of them. So which one is the God one to do? Which one does God say, I want you to be involved in this and not these others? Because you can't possibly do all of those things. And the only way to know that is to have some level of discernment. And so discernment is so critically important. Discernment is defined as to test by implication, to approve, examine, to prove as in by like even trial, but to be able to test and approve something. In Latin, it means to distinguish, to separate, like by sifting something, to separate, again, one thing from the other, to set apart, to divide, to distribute, to perceive. So this is the idea of discerning. We need to be able to discern the different things in life and really discern what it is that God wants us to do. And here in Proverbs 3, it tells us that we can preserve sound, that we should preserve sound judgment and discernment. And that discernment, it says, is life for us. And that's what I want to consider today. When I discern things, it is a very much a form of protection. I can stay out of trouble if I'm discerning enough to realize what will get me into trouble. Discernment is a way to tell where I'm standing at right now, and I can't see into the future. But through the gift of discernment, I can discern that if I continue on this path, somewhere down the road down there, it's going to become problematic. And so I'm going to avoid that. That's what discernment, it's not necessarily, it is a type of prophetic gifting to be able to protect yourself or put yourself in a place to benefit in the future. So I like to think of discernment as a form of protection. If I'm discerning, it will protect my life and help me create the life that God wants me to be living. It protects me from harm and downfall that might come our way. And so I want to go back now and look at this passage in a little bit bigger context. And we're going to look at two types of discernment today, but really focus on one as we get into this. Proverbs 3:21, and I'm going to read through verses 26. It says, "My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament of grace around your neck." Then, the word then, we've talked about this kind of thing on Wednesday night at our Bible study. The word then seems like just such a, I don't even know, like almost an extra word, a throwaway word, an insignificant word, you know, that appears in our language. But these are the kind of words that are critical when reading and understanding the Bible, especially the in context, because all Scripture needs to be read and understood in context. In fact, the context will interpret what you're reading for you. Like I always say, I don't interpret Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. And it's little key words like then that do this. Because what is this telling me? I was just told to be careful to preserve discernment because it's life to me. And if I do that, what is it going to do? If I do it, then you will go on your way in safety. See how important that word is? It's giving me context. How do I go on my way in safety? Well, then tells me the context is be discerning. Be discerning, because when you're discerning, then you'll be able to go on your way in safety. That's just a little side note here, but I think those kind of things are really important. It's what makes Scripture, when you read it, so much easier to understand. It's words like then, therefore, so that, in order that. They connect the ideas together and give you the context of what you're reading. Then you will be able to go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lay down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear, sudden disaster, or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep you your foot from being snared. So I'm being told the benefits of being discerning. And they're all things, again, they're forms of protection, that I will go on my way in safety. If I'm discerning, then really, I like to think of discernment as when I'm discerning, I'm putting myself under God's grace. I will have God's grace applied to my life, and all this, the harmful things that could happen to me will not take place. I'm under that protection. If we discern and follow God's will, we're covered by His grace, and therefore we will have the type of life that God wants us to have and that we want it to have. And the things that it will do and how we have that life, why am I protected? Why will I have a God kind of life? Because it will keep me saved. I will not stumble. I will not fail. In other words, I'm going to have success, not failure. Rather than failing and falling and all these kind of things, I'm going to be successful rather than be hindered by those kinds of things. It says it keeps me from fear. I don't have to be fearful because I know I'm under God's protection. He keeps me safe. I lay down, I'm not afraid. Why? Because I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And if I'm doing what God wants me to do, then He's going to protect me. Let's say, well, how does that work? Think about it like this. If I'm doing the things, if I'm discerning correctly, I'm not just like doing a bunch of good things, but I'm actually doing what God's purpose is for me. I'm doing what God specifically wants me to do. Why does He want me to do that? Because He wants it to get done, right? When you do something, you do it. I don't know about you, but when I do something, I'm always doing it so that it gets done, okay? I spend all day doing yard stuff, which I hate, trimming and picking and raking up and mowing and all kinds of stuff. I hate that. But you know why I did it? Because it needed to be done, and I wanted to get it done, okay? So when we're doing what God wants us to do, it's because He wants it to be done. It needs to be done. If I'm doing what God wants to get done, then He's going to protect me so that Satan and other attacks can't keep me from getting it done. It's probably not that I'm all that special or you're all that special. It's just that we're doing what God wants us to do, and He wants it to get done, so He's going to protect us. So when I lay down at night and I know that I'm discerning correctly and I'm doing what God wants me to do, I don't need to be afraid. I know that He's going to protect me because what I'm doing is important. He needs to get it done, so He's going to see to it that I'm protected so that I can get it done. And I also know that my sleep, which I have to say, I feel good today because I actually slept last night. One of those rare nights, I slept for like 7 hours straight. I never sleep for 7 hours straight. The reason I did is because I got woke up early the previous night because somebody set off my home alarm, and I never went back to sleep after that. But that's what happens when you go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I slept really good last night. I knew that was coming. Just close the door and stay over there. I just want you to know, I'm going to just tell you this. The reason that he sits there is because he's security, all right? He's not staying out. As you can tell, he's listening to what's going on. Did you see the video from about 3 weeks ago, maybe it was two, 3 weeks ago, with a guy standing here just like me right now, preaching, and the guy walks right in the middle of there and points a gun at him and pulls the trigger. Did you see that video? Yeah, well, look it up. It's out there. It just happened a couple weeks ago. Believe me, I saw it. And the guy, and I believe it was God, because the guy's gun misfired, just went click. And about three people jumped on him. In this church, he wouldn't have been jumped on. He'd have been shot. Okay? So we try to, that's why we lock that door and control entry from back there. And we can see who's coming in and out. And this happens just in, you think, well, this is Ohio City. I've had threats on me here, just so you know. We live in a, the world has always been fallen. It's still fallen. And until Jesus comes back, it's going to remain fallen. But I can sleep a sweet sleep, as it says, because I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do. If I'm being obedient to God, what do I have to worry about? I mean, to know that is so, I've heard it termed and I like it, to sleep the sleep of the righteous. That you know that you're in right standing with God, you're doing what he wants you to do, and because of that, everything else will be okay. These things are really important. That we don't need to be worried. We're not going to be snared by wicked. It's not going to overtake us. Why doesn't wickedness overtake us? Why aren't we snared by it? Because we're discerning. And we don't allow ourselves to step in the trap. Discernment is life. I think that discernment is just so important. So it gives us the kind of life that God wants us to have. And it keeps us from being tricked or deceived or snared or all of those kind of things. But again, it's not just that. It's also important to be able to distinguish the difference between what something is simply good and it's truly God and what he wants us to do. So the question is, well, what is discernment and how do we develop it? As I said, we're going to look at two types of discernment today. Spiritual discernment and then discernment that comes from maturity, which comes from knowing the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, there is a gift of discernment where God's Spirit in us will just speak to us and let us know, maybe a person that we're dealing with, that, hey, everything looks great, everything they say sounds great, you know, their life looks great, but there's just something in your gut, something in your spirit that just tells you, yeah, something is not right here. Be cautious, be careful in your involvement with this person or this situation. And I'm sure I've shared this before, but one of my greatest regrets was an example of this. I was on the board of the Santa Maria Valley Rescue Mission. It's what it sounds like, the rescue mission. Like when we go to the LA mission, when we've taken mission trips there, that's a rescue mission. It's on Skid Row. That's the kind of stuff it deals with. Well, I was on the board of the Santa Maria Valley Rescue Mission, and we had our executive director was leaving to go to another position. We had to hire a new executive director, and we had this man presented to us by kind of our Santa Barbara Rescue Mission was kind of above us because we were new and getting started, and they'd been doing it for a really long time, so we relied on their guidance a lot. So one of their executive people presented to us somebody they thought would be a good executive director for us. Everything on the resume looked great. The guy interviewed great. Everything seemed, you know, checked all the boxes, but there was just something in me that said, man, there's just something not right here. It's not that I dislike the guy. There's something not right. I don't feel right about this. I didn't say anything because everybody else, of course, liked him and he checked all the boxes and all this kind of stuff. So I kept my mouth shut. We hired the guy. And about 6 months later, he embezzled a bunch of money and took off. I mean, I kick myself to this day for not. I knew in my knower that there was something that wasn't right here. And here's what I found out. That if I just spoke up, there were other people on the board that said, oh man, I was getting the same thing. They would have spoke up. That's spiritual discernment. That's the gift of discernment. And it's a wonderful gift if you listen to it. So that's a spiritual gift. But there is another type of gift that comes from experience and knowledge and just maturing in the Word of God. And that's one that we really can develop, as opposed to the spiritual gifts that's in us. We can understand it better, we can recognize it better, but it's a spiritual gift, as opposed to simply growing, and you might actually call it maturity, just being able to be more mature to distinguish and understand God's ways and His purposes. And of course, the only way you can do that, you cannot have discernment that is based on maturity without knowing the Bible. Because maturity comes from knowing God, knowing His ways, knowing His Word. Because this is what you check it back against. Like if you're in a situation and you want to be discerning, basically be mature in your decision making, you have to have some standard to check it against. Right? What is my defining line? What's my keystone? What's my standard that I check everything against? Well, for biblical spiritual maturity, it's the Bible. If you don't know what this is, what it says, then you have no standard to check it against. You can't possibly be a discerning person without a decent, at least, knowledge of God's Word. Just to tell you that here this morning. So it is our standard by which we check things against. And so that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. We need to mature this way. And like I said, when you're discerning, it's almost like you can foretell the future. Because I can see because of discernment where this is headed. It's headed somewhere good, it's headed somewhere bad. I don't know if it's going to be 2 weeks from now, 2 months, 2 years from now, whatever. But I know because of discernment that that's where this will eventually headed or end up. So it's a great way to be protected. It's a great way to foretell the future. And it's and God actually says discernment is life to us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 10, it says, "But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit." This is spiritual discernment, obviously. "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." So things are revealed to us by how? What's it say? Very first line. By His Spirit. Things are revealed to us by His Spirit. And what does the Spirit do? It searches what? All things, even the deep things of God. So the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, knows these things, and then what does it do? It reveals it to us. That's pretty good. In other words, we can know things and we can know situations and see things from God's perspective. If you could see the world at all times from God's perspective, would you be in pretty good shape? I should get an amen for that. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. That is why we understand what God has freely given us. That is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The only way you can know the things of God and the spiritual things of God is by the Spirit, because they are spiritually discerned. If you are not open to the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you're going to have a really hard time with spiritual discernment. As I've shared before, our pastor in San Diego used to, people would, because we were a Pentecostal church, and I consider myself a Pentecostal, which means I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit as power poured out on the day of Pentecost, which is today, yes, by the way, which means it's 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. That's Pentecost. So on the day that we read in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that's today. Man, I missed a great sermon on that one, didn't I? Maybe this will be a doubleheader. When you have God's Spirit, if without His Spirit, if you're not open to the infilling of God's Spirit in our lives, how are you going to possibly have spiritual discernment? How are you going to discern what's God if you're not open to His Spirit? And anyways, I was saying, being a Spirit-filled church, people would ask our pastors, like, well, you know, do I have to? Because they thought this Holy Spirit stuff was goofy. And they'd be like, well, can I go to heaven without the Holy Spirit? And his response would be like, man, I wouldn't go to the grocery store without the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? I mean, yeah. So the Holy Spirit is so critically important. It goes on, verse 15. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Now, man, you got to love that verse. By God's Spirit, I can make judgments, discernments about everything, because the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So I can discern or judge about all things, but I am not under anyone's judgment. I like that. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why do we have the mind of Christ? Not because we're smart, but because we have God's Spirit, if we have that level of spiritual discernment. I have a whole bunch of notes here that I'm probably going to skip because I stopped and talked a lot as I went through all that. But we need to be, when we're born again, we need to be filled with God's Spirit. This is so critically important. Verse 14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. This isn't a statement about me, but I'm just going to make this really plain. If you're here this morning and you're not open to God's Spirit activity in your life, then what I'm standing up here saying right now makes no sense to you. That's what verse 14 is saying. Because the spiritual things of God are spiritually discerned. And if I'm up here just, you know, I'm sure there are things I'm saying that Randy's saying that are not spiritual. But every word I read from the Bible when I'm reading it up here, that's spiritual. But if we don't have God's Spirit, because it's spiritual, if we don't have God's Spirit, we can't understand it. It's spiritually discerned. It's so critically important. That's why when you sit down, should I do my little encouragement again? When you sit down to read your Bible, you need to pray first that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will help you understand it and apply it to your life. Don't waste your time reading the Bible without asking Holy Spirit to help you understand it. And I'm telling you right now, like, this is my little advertisement that I do from time to time. If you're not reading your Bible, then just start with anything. If it's 2 minutes, if it's 5 minutes, just start. Just anything. It's the same principle as I've always taken with working out. Anything is better than nothing. If you don't have time for your full workout, do something. Anything is better than nothing, okay? So if it's 2 minutes a day, do it. If you have no idea what you're doing, just say, God, where do you want me to read? And go and read it. You're not, only that's my concordance, so that wouldn't be any good. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to do any damage. If you open up by some unfortunate chance to the book of Numbers and read that so-and-so begat so-and-so for a couple of minutes, it isn't going to hurt you. Discernment. I said this morning in Sunday school, knowing the Bible can make somebody like myself, who's not all that smart, seem a lot smarter because we have the mind of Christ available to us if we just agree with God. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish, which is also the Greek word discernment, to distinguish good from evil. So this is what I'm talking about now. We're moving beyond spiritual discernment into discernment that comes from maturity in knowing God's word. And here the writer of Hebrews is criticizing these folks for not maturing. He's saying, you know, I want to give you food that's more nourishing, that can really build you up and sustain you, but you still need baby food because you won't learn the basics. it's going to be tough to be discerning the way God wants us to be if we're just taking baby food all the time. We're not growing. We're not maturing. He wants to give us solid food, deeper teachings, moving beyond the elementary. And what do I mean by, you know, okay, everybody for the most part can quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, that's absolutely crucial, critical, life-giving, salvation important, right? But it's also just the tip of the beginning of the iceberg, all right? That's the starting point. That's not the ending point. The ending point, there is no ending point. We always can grow and mature and become more acquainted. And again, without that growth, without that knowledge, then we have nothing to check back. You know, I think that I understand something this way, and I think that I'm trying to discern that if I get involved in this, this is where it's going to end up, and maybe I don't want to be involved in that, but I can't know because I have no standard to check it back against if I don't know this. People may think that they know the difference between right and wrong, the difference between good and evil, and we hear it all the time. People go, well, it seemed like a good thing to do. How many people have been burnt by doing a good thing? You hear it all the time. It seemed good. It seemed right. Yeah, but it wasn't God, and it wasn't because, and the reason that you didn't know that it wasn't is because you weren't discerning. And I'll go back to Proverbs that we opened, 3:21-26. Why is it so important? Because it gives us safety. We don't get snared. We're protected. We sleep well. We're doing the will of God. These things are so important. This lack of discernment has actually led to one of the big problems we're facing in the Christian church today. Look at Romans 1:24-28 with me. We know that some of our local churches, the United Methodist churches, have left the United Methodist Church because they're having drag queen story hour from the pulpit. That was why I joked last night at the alumni. They said, they'd say something like, all the women who this, that, this is for the men, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? This is what I love about this group. They're all old enough, and we were all raised well enough that we all know the difference between men and women. Isn't that great? But there are churches nowadays that don't know the difference. They lack discernment because they can't read and understand the Word of God. Romans 1:24-28, it makes it so clear. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, and the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to their shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women, were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in them the due penalty for their perversion. Therefore, since they do not think it worthy to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Is there anything unclear about that? That's pretty easily understood, right? Then how in the world do we have churches nowadays that practice and endorse what this says is evil and corrupt? The only thing I can say is they are woefully undiscerning. That they have no idea what the Word of God says and means. And you think, now you might think, oh, come on, Randy. Surely, I mean, these are pastors trained in the Bible, they've been to Bible college, whatever, how can that possibly be? I'm sure I've shared with this before, but before Cassidy was in ministry, she had not been, just went, got her degree in science or physics and math, and she was a nerd. She was a nerd. She was a science math nerd, all right? But she attended this church in LA, I think it was East Side, massive church. And she got involved there, and it got to where young people would go and like ask their college pastor, the youth pastor, different pastors on staff, different Bible questions, and they would literally say, these were the trained pastors, the people who have been to Bible college and seminary and all this, they would say, go ask Cassidy because she knows that better than we do. Just because somebody's been to Bible college or seminary or whatever does not mean they know what the Bible says. It depends on what's being taught in the Bible colleges, right? As to what the people coming out of them believe and know. I mean, if they've turned away, I mean, so this lack of discernment allows things to happen, even in the body of Christ, that are clearly outside of God's word. That's why I say you've got to know what God's word. We are called to discern. We ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Now, this word examine, again, it's the same word that we use for discernment. So in other words, he's saying discern yourself, examine yourself. We need to be honest with ourselves about ourselves. In fact, I would say this is a great starting place. If in developing your discernment, it's going to be hard to be discerning in other areas of life and about other people if you are not discerning about yourself, if you don't understand yourself, because discernment about yourself, examining yourself, and again, what's my standard? How do I discern myself? I discern myself by knowing this is my standard. Does my life line up with God's word? That's how you discern yourself. How can you discern or judge yourself? You can't do it if you don't know God's word, because this is the standard by which we compare ourselves. But if I don't know myself, if I don't know my flaws, my shortcomings, my improper motivations and things like that, I may have desires that are outside of God's will. How am I going to discern things beyond myself if I don't know myself honestly? I say, well, you know, I might be making a mistake because I know my motivations, you know, struggle in this area because I have these things going on. You got to examine yourself. You start by examining yourself. You're not going to have any luck in being discerning in other areas of life unless, of course, you know and understand yourself. He says, do you not realize that Christ is in you? That's the first thing, hopefully, you discern. Of course, unless he says you fail the test. Hopefully, we don't fail the test. James 1, verses 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word or so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. This is what I'm talking about. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. After looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So again, this is simply saying that you got to know what the word says, and you got to remember it, and you got to look at yourself in light of the Bible is a mirror for us. It shows us the truth about ourselves. Now, sometimes, like, you know, my truth is you're old and you're ugly and you're bald. Okay? But at least I can admit that, all right? That's how I know that my wife must love me, because it ain't on looks. It's why I work out, because it's like I can't do anything about being old, I can't do anything about being bald, I can't do anything about being ugly, but I can do something about the way my body is, okay? So I try to take care of it. It's the one thing I have control over. The Bible is a mirror for us. It will tell us the truth about ourselves. Now, it's not always easy, it's not always kind, it's not always pain-free, but we can correct those things. That's what God's grace is for us. And so that's what it's telling us. Test yourself, discern yourself. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of spirit and soul, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Love that. Love that. Love that. It will tell me the truth about myself. It will, my motivations, the thoughts and the attitudes and the motivations of my heart, my mind, my flesh, the Bible tells me whether or not it's right, whether it's godly or not. It reveals the thoughts and the attitudes of my heart. And so when my thoughts and my attitudes don't line up with God's word, then it's revealed to me that those are ungodly. Get rid of them. Change. Amen? I love that. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Now, the Greek there, we have the word God in the NIV. The Greek, the original Greek does not say God. Okay? It says His. Nothing is hidden from all of His sight. Because God is not mentioned, and we're reading it in context, I think that His refers to the Word of God. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from the Word of God's sight. That's my opinion. You're welcome to disagree with me. But it makes sense contextually. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes to whom we must give an account. We're going to give an account for our lives based on our relationship with Jesus. But we're also going to give an account beyond that of where our lives lined up with this word. We give an account. Did we live? Did we try to study and know and learn and apply God's word to our life? Yes or no? I think that we're going to be judged according to that. Discern ourselves. How can we tell if we really are a discerning person? Proverbs 17:10 says, a rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes a fool. How can you tell if you're really discerning? If someone or something brings correction to you and you can receive it. You go, oh, you know what? I think you're right. I blew it. That's a good indication you're discerning. If you go, oh, who are you to say that? What about you? Guess what? Then maybe you fall into the fool category. I really do believe that. A rebuke impresses a man of discernment. Thank you. Thank you for seeing that and correcting that in me, pointing it out to me. Now it's going to be responsible up to me what I do with it. But if you can receive correction, you're probably a person that's well on their way to becoming a discerning person. Let me close with this. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. And this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight. Again, discernment. So that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Isn't that what God's calling for us? To be pure, to be blameless, to live holy lives. God says, be holy because I'm holy. In other words, we don't want to be sinful. We don't want to be in disobedience to God. And how does he say that we can do that in verse 10? So that you may be able to discern. But we have to abound in knowledge. We have to have knowledge and depth of insight of God's standard so that we can discern. And when we discern, then we can be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. It's going to be really tough to be at the place God wants us to be in our level of obedience to Him if we can't discern. And so we're told, as where we opened in Proverbs 3, that discernment is life to us. It is critically important to us to live the life that God wants us to live a life in this world following the right path as God directs us, protecting us from pitfalls and harms that may come our way and being able to be successful. None of that's possible unless we can discern. Now, I pray that everybody would operate in the gift of discernment. That's a great thing. But ultimately, you got to add to it the discernment that comes from maturity, from knowing God's word, because this is our standard. I understand the world around me based on the standard of God's word. Is it good? Is it godly? I don't want to live. I mean, it's good to live good, but I want more than just being good. I want to be obedient to God. I want to live godly, a godly life. So just remember, discernment is life.